Hello there, everyone. My name is Wes, and I'm joined by Adrian and Matt for another Healthy Stream episode. As a fair warning, we will spoil this week's movie in our review, so if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out and come back to this later. Let's get streaming! What's going on, fellas? How we doing tonight?
Sweating my fucking balls off.
It's hot, man.
Cooking.
Hot as fuck up out in here, this bitch.
Paris Hilton said, "That's hot," when I asked her the fucking temperature of the room.
Oh, then you know.
She's correct.
She's fucking dead on, man.
People are always calling her dumb, and I don't know, man. She's pretty good.
When it comes to the weather, she's fucking human weather balloon.
Yeah, August and October, pretty damn good.
Especially way like the world's moving, she's going to be right a lot more.
That she's wrong. Globally.
Yeah, I know it's hot, man. This is where I conduct this show from, is also where I work, and I'm out here in a garage with no fans, no AC, so I'm just like sweating through shirts.
You're with the rest of us, no fans.
Yeah. No, it's adequate. Yep. There's no fans during the day at work, no fans of my podcast when I get on it at night. So it's
consistency is key.
A fanless life. Yeah. That's how I live. I'm like a Quaker, but just without, instead of like technology, it's for like people who like me. Yeah. Speaking of people not liking me, this movie was about high school, which we watched. So it brought back a lot of those fun memories. I did think this movie, it definitely triggered something in me to like, you know, most people think back about high school, and I do too. Like, think back as like fondly, like those are the best days of my life, man. Like high school.
You actually think that?
I think some people do.
I think you specifically
sometimes. If I think
really,
I mean, depending on which way I'm thinking about it, you know. Like I remember. I mean, when we were talking about reliving the same day over and over, remember, I think I said I considered high school.
We also gave you shit for it.
Yeah, because you just wanted to bang 16-year-olds. That's the
reason. Yeah, except I wasn't banging too many anybody's in high school. But sometimes I do think it would be fun. But then this movie, actually, it was like a reality check. I was like, oh yeah, high school wasn't always fun. It was pretty awkward at times. Specifically, it made me think of this time in high school, I had to give a report in English class. And this was dead set in the middle of me going through my voice changing time in my
transition.
Sure. Yeah.
Did you have one of those like voice changer things that you talk into and changes your voice? Is that what you're talking about?
I wish because I got up in front of this class and gave a report on, I forget. And it was probably the longest report of my life because it was going like, and that this story is, and it's very, like I would put zingers in there and they just went right over people's heads because they're like, dude,
what'd he say?
Yeah. Yeah, no one caught anything because it was like they're just too focused on my voice. I looked at looking around the room, I remember like the faces were either like kind of giggling into their hands or they were like full on shock, like, I can't believe this is happening. Like the teacher was
embarrassed,
like,
for you.
Yeah, she was on the side of me, like swinging her fist under her throat, just like, wrap it up, Wes, you're embarrassing yourself.
She put one of those like long ass hooks to pull you off the side of the stage, like in a cartoon.
I just dodged it. Get off me. I'm not done yet. What are you doing, teacher?
I got things to say.
Just turn into Scooby-Doo.
I'm not done with my report. Yeah. I need this A. Raggy.
Yeah. Well, I did turn into Scoob.
Yeah. I need this A, Raggy. My teacher's name was Shaggy. That's what.
I think your teacher caught me butt naked banging on the bathroom floor.
That wasn't him. It wasn't him. It wasn't her. And I finished that thing, and man, that was just like awkward, dead silence, no audience clap. Some of the girls like made fun of me. They were just like, oh, how cute. Like, not cute, like, we think you're hot. Cute, like, what a poor little boy.
Oh, he tried to do a thing. Isn't that adorable?
Oh. Yeah, it was a good learning experience of what bombing feels like, I imagine. You know, if I was to do stand-up, I was like, oh, this is what it feels like to completely suck and embarrass yourself in front of a lot of people. Awesome.
And took that as a career path.
Yeah.
In all fairness, like, you went in front of the toughest crowd in the world, which is a bunch of fucking teenagers in high school.
That's probably true.
They're going to be the harshest on you.
Just not to your face.
Yeah. Well, they would. They were. So that was not a fun time, that instance. What about you guys?
You know, when I watched it, there wasn't something that directly related to it, but it reminded me of this time. I used to go drive my little trail motorcycles up in the hills behind our house and just cruise around out there and drink a beer or whatever with my buddy. He had one as well. One time, I think actually at that time we were hiking. Yeah, we were hiking at that time. We were just walking around up there, just dicking around. And we run into this kid up there inside the hills. And, you know, we start talking to him, whatever. And he's like, yeah, how much you want to bet I can light this bush on fire? I'm like, don't do that.
Yeah.
But what we said was,
yeah, 20 bucks.
Yeah. But 20. What we said was like, let's see that shit, you know?
Yeah. So you won't do
it. He pulls out a matchbook and he starts lighting this bush on fire. And next thing you know, he's fucking kicking and screaming, trying to get the fire out. Like, help me, help me. You know, we're like, fuck this. And we run. So we come running down the mountain and out into the street by our house. And right as we come down, there's a helicopter flying over. And by the time we got down the mountain, maybe like an eighth of a mile or something like that. Not a huge distance, but it was a good enough chance to run away. The fire was already blazing, like out of control. So I run down, run back home and go to my grandma's house. I'm like, this guy, he lit a fire. We told him not to do it. So they're like, okay, you have to call the cops. So I call the cops. This is weird to look back on now. Like, I'm calling the cops. I was young.
Hello?
I don't even know if I was in high school yet. But, and then, so the cops come up to my house and they're like, you know, asking me some questions, what happened. I'm like, we're up there. This kid said he wanted to light the bush on fire. We told him not to do it. They're like, yeah, we think we know who this kid is. We need you to come down and identify him. I'm like, oh, geez. Oh, shit. Okay. And they're like, all right, just get in the back of the cop car. So I get in the back of the cop car. I'm like, shit, dude. Uh-oh. And they drive down the street. And this kid lives maybe like three streets away from me. And I don't remember where my buddy was at the time. It was just me in the car. So he is gone. So they drove me down to this kid's house. And there's like already a cop at the house. So they pull up next to him. I get out of the car. And they're waiting for the kid to come down. He comes down. They're talking to him. And then they're last week like, is this him? And I was like, yep. That's him.
You ratted him out.
He's like, I didn't do shit. And they're like, let me see your hands. He's like, all right. He turns his hands over, just fucking completely charred black. So they're like, yeah, we've had run-ins with this kid before. Like, all right, well, we appreciate your time. You drove me back home, and I kicked it for the rest of the day.
He learned a valuable lesson of turning people in.
I guess I was that little prick in this movie. Fuck.
Yeah. Snitches get stitches, man.
Damn.
Yeah.
Not always, though. Sometimes they just kick it.
Yeah. Sometimes they make a sweetheart deal and get away with it.
Yeah. To be fair, I didn't like the match. That guy lit a bush on fire. I did not encourage him to do it, though. And I kind of wanted to see a blazing fire. So.
Right.
Bad move.
Which you got that also.
We got that also. Yeah. Everything worked out pretty good and a cool ride in a cop car.
I still think one of my favorite stories that you told me from high school was when you bombed everyone's clay projects as your senior prank.
It wasn't really a senior prank, but I did do that. So I was in clay class and I knew the TA in there. And one of the first things they tell you in there is that you can't have any air bubbles inside the clay structures that you make when you burn them in the bisque because they'll explode. And I'm like, oh, sweet.
Thank you for that information.
So the entire semester, we just filled this cap. You have these cabinets that you keep all your projects in. And we built these giant hollow tubes of clay that look like bombs. They look like bombs. We made some of the old cartoon ones, the big round ones with the wicks coming out of them. Like, we made rocket looking ones, just a ton of them. And then we waited until everybody's finals, put them in there and just came back the next day. I'm standing at break, laughing around, you know, joking around with my friends. And all of a sudden, I just feel a huge sock right to my arm. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? This guy's like, dude, I know you fucking blew everybody's shit up. He was in the period before me. It's like he had already found out they went and everybody's finals were blown up. They had to just give everybody a passing grade. So I did everyone a favor if you weren't going to pass clay, which, come on, people probably had some cool stuff in there. But
that's why you took clay, right? You took clay.
Exactly. It was a freebie.
Yeah.
They let you build bombs.
Well, they don't let you.
Yeah. I bet you the rules changed since then. Like, people are like, okay, you know, if anybody blows up in here, then you get a, you're like,
there was no way that teacher didn't know it was me. But I did make these really cool clay heads of like just a bunch of characters, and she loved them, and I gave them to her, and I still got an A in the class. So,
So Matt's high school experience was filled with fire and bombs. Mine was also filmed with bombs, but of a different sort.
Adrian, what do you got?
Oh, I have some definite crazy times in high school. One of the final scenes in this movie reminded me of a high school party. You know, when they have the cop party and the police show up, the actual police show up?
Yep.
Something like that happened, except it wasn't a cop party. So,
but the police did show up.
The police did show up. So, yeah, a friend of mine's parents were out of town. He's throwing a party, and there's a good amount of people. I know maybe a quarter of them, but he, you know, it's his house, so I know him. I'm there drinking, and all of a sudden, somebody's like, ah, the police are here. The police are here. And I'm just drunk and oblivious. So, the police are in the living room, and I come walking into the living room holding a vodka bottle in each hand, yelling, fuck the police. Yo, fuck the police. Needless to say, the police did not appreciate that at all. But somehow my friends were able to whisk me away into a back room and hide me in a closet until the police had like given up on looking for me. And I was snuck out.
Nobody checked the closet.
No, nobody checked the closet.
They did not make detective. Those guys did not make detective in that.
Yeah.
Detective Lang.
Yeah. Detective Lang was not there. So I got away pretty easily. And they whisked me out into the back cab of my friend's pickup truck. And I guess while he's driving me home, I end up throwing up all over the back of the inside of his cab. And he is pissed at me. And I guess I'm just talking shit to him the whole time because I am blackout drunk at this point. And so he's like, get out, get into the bed. And he like makes me get into the bed. And he's so mad at me the entire way home. He's just like speeding up over speed bumps and slamming on the brakes, just like having me fly forward into the back of the truck. You know, I'm drunk. I don't feel any of this. And he finally gets me to right in front of my house. And I go to jump out of the bed, but my legs catch the bed. So I fall first right onto the sidewalk out front.
Oh,
face plant.
Yeah, I don't remember any of that. Don't remember the feeling, but it explains a lot of how I developed from that point forward.
It's a metaphor for high school.
Yeah, metaphor for high school for sure. And so, yeah, that's what this movie made me remember. Just that last scene. I'm like, I've been there.
Yeah. It's funny. I thought that this movie definitely had a good, it did a good job of, I don't know. I definitely brought up some like awkward and fun, you know, party memories and some of the criminal things we did, like Matt talked about.
That's me. They're not real bombs. They just explode.
I think we're more talking about the wildfire.
Arson.
Yeah, the arson.
Oh.
What's the statute of limitation? On arson? Accomplice to arson, I guess.
Yeah. I wonder what happened to that kid. Did you keep in touch with him? Is he still
never? That was the first time I'd ever seen or met that kid. So he can go fuck himself.
Oh, well, cool. And let's just get right into it, guys, since we're all high schooled up. Adrian, this was your suggestion. This was Big Time Adolescence by Jason Orley from 2019. We watched it on Hulu. Adrian, defend your decision.
Okay. So I chose this movie because it looked unique. It looked like a comedy, which, you know, we're all starving for comedies in this economy. You know what I mean?
True.
Everything's so low in the comedy field. So I'm like, okay. And it's something new. I'm not too familiar with Pete Davidson. I know he's on Saturday Night Live. I've heard his name in the news, but I don't really follow him too much. But I'm like, okay, I'll give this guy a shot. It looks like something interesting. And it made me want to check it out. So that's
all right.
That's all I got, man. I'm sorry. If you want more, I can't give it to you. That's it.
Well, I'm sure we'll get it out of you over the review coming up. I want to say he was just in a movie that was just released called King of Staten Island. Have you guys heard of that one?
Yes.
Mm-mm.
That you haven't heard of that?
No, I haven't.
It was a straight to VOD. I think August 24th you can rent it, but if you try to go on like Vudu or one of those sites right now, you got to buy it for $14.99. I tried to watch it with this one. I was like, I'm going to watch that other one too now, just to, whatever, might as well knock them out. But I thought that when I saw the previews for King of Staten Island, I thought it was this movie. I was like, that's already out. Yeah. Now, I could be way off, but it,
well, for some reason, he only has two movies then, right?
Two starring movies. There's been another ones, but yeah.
But I confused them and I was like, that's already out, right? Like, then I realized like, oh, they're two different movies. They just maybe kind of seem about the same. I don't know. I'm going to check that other one out once I can rent it, but. Adrian, why don't you go ahead? It was your movie. Go ahead and start us off. What you thought?
All right. Okay. So first thing I want to address in this movie is the first thing it suggested this guy do is start a podcast. So
yeah,
A total fucking loser. And the first thing they say, not an ego boost for me. And I'm sure not for you guys either. I'm like, oh God, that's what you do when you're in that situation. I'm not in that situation.
To be fair, he never actually did it.
So we are just slightly better than him.
Slightly. Okay. We're slightly better.
So this movie wasn't 100% what I thought it was going to be. And I don't think that's necessarily bad, but I think it brought up a lot of nostalgic feelings as the intro provided. But the way it ended kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, but for the most part, mm-hmm. I thought it was a pretty entertaining movie. That I had a few quarrels with it, but I think it did its job for the most part. How do you guys feel?
I feel the same way. Yeah, I think that it, on the surface, it's like kind of one of those coming of age movies, you know, but it's got its own unique kind of quirk to that thing, with really kind of focusing on a small instance with the, you know, with the drug sales and the arrest that changes everything towards the end. I thought it was, it's kind of strange that the kid was hanging out with the guy the whole time through the ex-girlfriend. I mean, just kind of weird there, kind of a weird way to do that. But I think, yeah, like you said, the movie was entertaining. It stood out in its own way. It was entertaining. I think it's the best way to put it. I can really say it.
It was unique, but it wasn't uniquely good.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, and what I mean by that is like, I definitely felt the same way that you guys did. Like, I don't know about you, but at certain points of this movie that I can't really like put my finger on why or what, but I felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like it just felt kind of like uncomfortable, just kind of weird. Like,
yeah. Like,
and maybe it was intentional because it was supposed to like kind of give you that. I mean, it wasn't a happy movie, and maybe this guy, you know, and I just felt uncomfortable maybe for the kid or just for his situation or just the whole thing just kind of sometimes felt like,
very strange. There were some funny parts, but the amount of leeway his father gave that kid was just weird.
Yeah.
They showed that they loved the kid, but they had no problem with him hanging out with this guy that's like way older, just hanging out there all the time, going to the house, knowing that he's drinking there and smoking. And it's like, they were just fine with it. Just didn't, it's off. It's very off.
I think that's maybe what kind of also added into me, like being uncomfortable with this movie, was like, just thinking about like my kids and if they were hanging out with that guy and just, you know, and not to say, cause like, I mean, that guy wasn't much different than, you know, some of my friends were in high school. They were the same age, but you know, as far as like drinking and smoking and
I think that's the biggest thing though.
Edward that 40 hands.
Was... Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you should be doing that stuff with kids your own age, but I think also like everybody's kind of been in that same situation where maybe you're like, I guess it's not mentoring, but you're the older kind of looked up to kid to somebody else and you're doing like things that aren't good.
Like think about how we all got beer when we were in high school. We always had to find someone's older brother or someone who, you know, is willing to buy us beer, which obviously thinking back now, like that guy's probably a fucking loser. The guy who a 17-year-old's beer. But like back then it was like, oh yeah, this guy's fucking cool. Yeah, we'll hang out and drink a few beers with you, you know, or like that would be his cost. It's like, oh yeah, come on, let me drink a few of them with you, which seemed like, okay, that's a cool price to pay. I'm down with that.
Yep. And it wasn't a cost because it was like, this guy's cool. He's like older. He can like make better jokes. He's, you know.
And also it's like your connection. So you don't want to burn bridges.
Right. Right. But it wasn't creepy, right? You weren't like,
no,
at least like, oh, back then it wasn't. Looking back on it now, you could be like, yeah, that's fucking not as cool as I remember it being.
Right. And I don't think that this guy was like creepy, but it was just kind of like he needed somebody to think he was cool, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which is that same guy you're talking about.
You know, exactly.
Like, you know, like I'm a loser in real life, but like I buy these kids beer and they fucking think I'm awesome.
I am a god.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I think just the age we have has changed our perspective on that situation, probably for the better. But
I'd hope so.
But I mean, like, I think we'd kind of be on our high horses to think of this guy as any different than some of the people we dealt with in high school.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why I was like, I can't really put my finger on like what's weird about this and like what feels gross or just like, I don't know. But if anything, I was kind of like, hey, this is a good job of the movie, because I mean, it must be somewhat intentional, like just to communicate what's going on there so well that you're just like, oh, this feels not good.
Yeah, see, I don't know if they did that for me. It was like it was that they were missing something. It was just off base with the way the parents acted towards the kids' relationship with them. And it just like felt kind of surface layer only. It was kind of strange. It was a bit of a weird movie that way.
I mean, I think that the parents did like trust him to like a pretty good extent, and that's why. And obviously they knew things were going on, but I think that like since he's never in trouble or anything, they kind of gave him a little bit of leeway. But I agree with you, man. It's a really strange situation they brought up, and maybe it's based off reality, or maybe it's just their imagination of it and they just didn't get it right because, you know, they're just guessing. I don't really know.
And probably a lot of it's like, well, what can you do? I mean, he wants to go out and hang out with his friends. Like, we can't, you know, what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's a good kid. He gets good grades, whatever. Yeah. Like, can't stop him, you know, like just, all right, well, just don't do anything stupid, you know, but. What did you guys think of Pete Davidson as an actor? Like, what did you think of his character in this movie?
He was good. I thought he was fine. I played the role perfectly, I think. Did he have a role in making this movie?
I don't know.
I don't think, sure, in making it. I think he was definitely sought out to.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like he was playing, like, the way I got it. I didn't know if he did or not, but it seemed like he was playing a version of almost like how he sees himself or saw himself. I've seen him on some other podcasts and stuff like that and talk just about, you know, his life and different things that he's dealt with. And it kind of seemed like he was portraying a version of himself. And I thought he was good.
I agree. I think that he was doing, he kind of bugged me, man. I don't know why. I don't know what it is about that guy. And it's like totally unfair. I don't know, man.
Oh, hey, what's up, Pete?
Yeah, he's here. He's here. We can interview him now.
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit, man. Well, hey.
What's up, man? It's me, Pete Davidson. What was that you were saying when I walked in?
Wild.
Totally, bro.
I was just saying. I was just saying, man.
Gotta go, man. That's my time. I'm out. Later.
Hey.
See you, Pete.
Right on. Later, Pete. Thanks, dude. Wow, that was close.
You dodged a bullet there, man.
I had to think of something quick, luckily.
Luckily you bought it. Hook, line, and sinker.
No, I think it's unfair of me to judge it. I'm gonna be real fucking superficial, but it's like his mouth, dude. Something about his mouth bothers me. Like, it's like too big for his, it bothers me. I like, it's distracting.
I didn't want to get into this till later on in this review, but his face is very distracting.
Yeah, I'm telling you,
it kind of looks like they made a human version of a Muppet, and yes, like that's, and that's Pete Davidson, the human Muppet.
Yeah, and the entire time he's on screen, I'm just like, well, there's nothing really wrong with what he's doing right now, but it bugs me. Like, it's totally unfair. I can't like use this against him, but this is bothered. Yeah. Well, what am I supposed to do? I mean,
your face. I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Change it or I'm going to punch it.
Yeah. And it's like voice doesn't like match it. Like his voice is like deep and it's just something threw me off. Sorry, Pete.
Okay.
I'm nothing against you. I didn't let it hurt overall, I think. Yeah. But yeah, shit.
I have nothing against Pete Davidson. I'll watch him with other stuff, but I do think he looks like a Muppet was made human, like through a wish or something. Maybe you found a genie. I don't know. Like,
there was like a fucking Pinocchio scenario or some
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, like maybe some guy's like, I want him to be a real boy.
Let's make a movie with Pete Davidson as like a real life Pinocchio.
That sounds terrifying.
Yes. But I think you're on to something. I think it could be funny, believable.
Yeah, some people think I'm funny looking. So, Pete, whatever, man. I'm sorry.
See if Pete's still here. Let's see if he'll do it.
Hold on. Let me see. Hey, Pete. Pete? What's up, bro?
Hey, Pete. Got an idea where you play a human Muppet. What do you think? You want to do it?
Pinocchio.
Fuck yourself, man. I'm out of here.
All right.
Well. Later, Pete.
Yeah, Pete.
Yeah, later, he didn't
Pete.
Like that. He didn't like that all at right. all.
That's cool. We'll try him next time. We'll rewrite it. You know, we'll come up with some better ideas.
But I did want to go through some talking points of this movie.
Yep. Let's
so do it. I want to start with the cast, or at least the lesser known cast. We all know Pete Davidson then is in this. Machine Gun Kelly is one of his friends, and
who I thought was one of the funniest people in it.
Absolutely, and he plays the perfect She's douchebag. 16, I don't bro. Know if that's ironic. Yeah, that was a funny line. That was pretty funny. And he pulls him aside and he's like,
wait, what?
Hey, man, it's fucked up, man. What do you do? I don't. That girl's can't be more than 16 years old. It's like, man, I'm 16. What? What? He's like all fucking shocked. It's a very funny line. But my wife has an aversion to Machine Gun Kelly, and I watched this with her, and God, I don't know why. She just hates that guy so much. She doesn't give me a reason other than just like the way he acts.
Was it destruction that Eminem put on him?
I don't think she gives a shit about Eminem.
Wow.
But I just think she doesn't like him at all. And so I'd hear a lot about it while I was watching this, but I thought you did a good job, honestly.
I did too. Yeah.
I agree. I didn't think I liked him because of the Eminem thing. Remember listening to those battles?
Yeah.
I was kind of like, this guy's a loser. And now I watch him in this movie. I was like, you know what? And I've seen him in other movies too. He was in, and every single time I see him, I go, I'm like, I know that guy, but I don't know who that is. Yeah. Like I kind of have to look it up and I go, oh, it is him. But I thought he was great. I like
it. I think the reason he did such a good job in this movie is because his character was supposed to be a douchebag.
Yeah.
You know?
He's like, who am I playing? They're like, just
be yourself, man.
Some film. Just be yourself, man.
But he was lovable. He was like a lovable douchebag. He was
absolutely
he was cool.
No, there were no real douchebags.
They all
are.
They're all like, they're just fucking slackers, fuck ups. You know, none of them are fucking terrible people. They're just fuck ups. They're just slacking.
Yeah.
Misguided youth.
You mentioned the dad, John Cryer. What did you think about? I thought he did a good job, actually.
Oh, I mean, like, excellent.
Like, stood out
for like the angry dad who's just trying to like break through. Frustrated, to his son, I think nailed it. Up,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. The mom, her name was Sherry, played by her name is Julia K. Murney. And there's two characters in this movie that stood out because I was like, I had to look them up because I was all, I've seen these people. I've seen her before. Like the mom. Mm-hmm. Julia K. Murney. I looked her up. Never seen her before. Never seen any of her movies she was listed in. She looks like Toni Collette. I almost thought it was Toni Collette for some reason. I was like,
yeah, I can see it similar.
That must be what I thought because I was like, she looks so familiar, but it wasn't her. And then the kid Thomas Barbuska who played Stacy.
That best kid friend. Looks so familiar.
Do you know where you see him? Wet Hot American Summer, First Day of Camp.
I looked him up.
Okay. Did he play Sam Levine's? Because I was like, that kid looks like Sam Levine, which maybe now that I think of it, I don't know if he was in Wet Hot American Summer.
He was in the remake.
I think he was.
Sam Levine was?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Sam Levine was. He was in that movie. He was like the guy that's like, oh, you're so cool, man. I got to look it up now. But yeah, I can imagine that kid played a younger Sam Levine because he looked like Sam Levine.
Yeah,
I was like, dude, he looks exactly like Sam Levine with red hair.
He was also in the Fox show The Mick. I don't know if you guys ever caught that.
That's where I saw him from.
Could be that too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Wet Hot American Summer, First Day at Camp is the thing that I remember him from. He's got
a very familiar face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he looks like he's from like The Sandlot. Like he just hasn't aged. Like he was definitely in The Sandlot, but he never aged.
He's just like
he might have been in the sequel.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been in The Sandlot. Like,
they're little rascals, The Sandlot. I've been in all.
Yeah, he's got that. What was that? Gary Coleman, whatever Gary Coleman had. But just like look, you always like look like a kid.
Greasy little prick. Not Gary Coleman.
If I could do a Gary Coleman impression, he would be on the show.
I think
no, I wasn't talking about him.
What do you mean impressions? I thought we had just celebrities dropping by.
I'm saying, yeah, well, no.
Impress
Pete Davidson like did impress. Come by.
Yeah.
Oh. But I would have faked him because I'm pretty sure he's dead. So gotcha. I would have had to fake him. Griffin Glick, who played Monroe, the main character, yeah. American Vandal is probably where you recognize him from, if you recognize him from somewhere.
I did kind of recognize him, but I just actually was more just like, man, this kid's a good actor. I was blown away.
He is good, but he looked familiar to me. I had to look it up. American Vandal. Very funny Netflix series. Also involved
high school. Oh, yeah. Yes. I have seen that. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Now I remember.
Where they're trying to find out who drilled the dick.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
And also Sydney Sweeney, who played Holly, a Pete Davidson's girlfriend. She's from Euphoria, The Handmaid's Tale, and Sharp Objects, which those are all pretty good shows. If you haven't seen them, check them out.
My wife's watched all of those.
I'd say Sharp Objects is probably the shining star out of those three.
Mm-hmm. That was the HBO series, right?
Yep. With starring Jennifer Adams. Molly Adams? Amy Adams. Yep. One of the Adams sisters.
Yeah.
Sisters. The whole family.
Yeah, the whole family.
The Adams family. One of the Adams family.
Whoop, the Adams family. There it is. You know, the song from the end of Adams Family Values.
Yep. Well, yeah.
Great song. Great song.
It's on my Spotify daily.
Okay, so the cast covered that. I want to get into some actual talking points of the movie, if you guys are cool with that.
No.
Okay, fuck it.
Okay, never mind. I've changed my mind. Go ahead.
Back in. So when they're playing quarters, that's such a pre-COVID drinking game. I was just like, God damn, man, I remember that.
I did not even think about that. That's a good observation.
I'm like, this guy's going to flick a quarter into a glass and then someone's just going to drink that and like not even care. Like, I can't even imagine that now.
Yeah, you're right.
You'd have to put that quarter in a goddamn glove and then shoot the glove into the glass. And then somebody would have to take the glove out, pour the drink out, pour a new drink, and then drink that.
Through a mask.
Strain through a mask. But that, and there's some, I'm going to get into some of the more problematic things I had with the movie. So at
Pete
the end.
Davidson's mouth.
Hold on. You don't want to sum him. Let's not do that. At the end, when he's driving and then he just sees a cop car with his lights on and he just flips a bitch and starts following the cops. I was like, what in the flying fuck is this guy doing?
Nobody does that.
Nobody, especially him. Anyone who's like him is not doing that.
Smoking weed while he's doing it.
Funny thing, my extra credits movie, the same thing happened. And I'll talk about that later, but I'm glad you brought it up.
Okay. But also Pete Davidson's character towards the very end of the movie became very, very problematic for me. It seemed like his character just turned into fucking not who I thought he was at all. Basically, after he rescues Monroe from the party and he gets him back and Monroe's just unloading about how his life's all fucked up and everything. And he starts telling him like what a loser he is and all this. And he's just like, okay, cool, bro. Yeah. He's like, oh, I banged your girlfriend. Oh, yeah.
At least you got laid.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah, like, it just totally turned me off to his character. It's like, I thought this guy, because at least at some points you think he has some sort of conviction towards something, even if it's not the right things. Like, he forces him to get a tattoo. He's so, like, strongly opinionated about doing all these things that he wants to do. But the second he's just like, oh, you're fucking me over? Okay. No, it's fine. We could still be friends. I just found that really, really problematic to his character, and it kind of turned me off.
I can tell you what I thought, and the way I took that was just that I kind of saw that in his character already. Like, he just was kind of bouncing, floating through life, like, not really. I mean, I think even the guys, he obviously didn't care about, the girlfriend wasn't like a big deal to him already, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was so in love with her and thought, he was still in love with the sister. You know, I mean, I think she was just kind of there, just, you know, she liked him more than he liked her. I don't think he really had a thing for his girlfriend, Holly, at the time anyway. And I think he probably valued the relationship with Monroe or Mo more than he did Holly. So he was just kind of like, oh, you banged my girlfriend? Like, he was like, well, whatever, it's my ex-girlfriend. But then just like, oh, well, that means you lost your virginity. Like, I think he just didn't want to lose that relationship with Mo. Like, he was kind of like,
but keep in mind, he just told him what a fucking loser he was and how unfortunate, like he doesn't want to end up to be like him because that would be a terrible thing. And he's just like,
whatever. Oh,
all right. I feel like they took away any redeeming qualities he would have had at that point. And that's when I was really turned off to his character. Maybe that was supposed to be the case, but
it might have been because if you think about the ending, they don't redeem him. Mo takes off and leaves him in the rearview mirror. And he's like working at a burger chain, like still fucking around. Like they don't really.
Yeah, but it's like you think he's smarter than he is up to that point. And maybe that's what they're doing on purpose. But the happy ending, or at least the happier ending to this movie, would be he realizes like, okay, yeah, I am fucking up. I need to do this. But they didn't do that at all. They just kind of made him like fucking stupid. They made like, okay,
yeah,
he's not going to do that. He's going to continue to be a loser. And this kid's just realizing it and getting out. And maybe that's what the story they're trying to tell.
Which I thought was kind of cool. Yeah,
me too.
Because if you're kind of going by Mo's version, if you're looking through his eyes, that's how he's seeing him now. So it's like as the story progresses, you just see this as fun and having fun at first. And he's got a character. But then at the end of it, you're just like, no, this guy is an actual just like deadbeat. And that's the way you feel about the character at the end, and just leaves him. So maybe it shifts through as Mo's attitude shifts.
Well, I think if you watch the movie as Mo, it's Mo is the main character.
Yes.
Not Zeke.
I did. I don't know. Yeah, that's how
I mean, I think that's what they're trying to say is that like, Mo had the potential. He's still young. He's smart. You know, he's kind of getting involved in this like deadbeat path. But then he, you know, he's like, no, I got to get my shit together. And then he goes and he does his drug tests every week and like makes friends with the lady. You feel like, okay, he's moving on. And I thought that scene with when he's driving away and Zeke is in the rearview mirror was like
sits down on the curb and.
Yeah, he's like, as he's leaving and he's in the rear mirror, it's like, that's like a perfect thing of I'm leaving, I'm moving on from this part of my life. But I mean, maybe Zeke gets it together, but he doesn't
show. You guys flip me on it. You guys convince me. I've like, honestly, after hearing that explanation, it does make more sense viewing it that way. That's just not how I saw him on the first time through. Probably the only time through.
I agree with what you're saying though, Adrian, because I think that up until like a certain point, you do. There is like a little bit of like, is this about him or is this about, you know, because everybody thinks you're rooting for the, I think I was at a certain point, you're like, okay, this is where
he gets it together.
Mo meets up with them. Yeah. And he meets them at the drive-thru and the guy's like, hey, I finally started that podcast or whatever. And it just shows like a step towards, and then maybe they like stay friends in some fashion, but I liked that it stayed more kind of true to life. Like you said, those guys that we used to buy beer from in high school or, you know, like, do you still talk to that guy?
He's actually my boss now.
Is he? Can he give me some beer?
Yeah.
No, he says that's a bunch of loser shit. He started a podcast and now he's my boss. And
But no, that's what I mean. I think it was more about Mo.
Yeah, I can see that after hearing your guys' viewpoint, and I can see seeing it that way. And it does change my perspective on it a little bit.
Cool.
I did want to add one last thing.
Yeah.
I did like how when he is meeting up with him at the burger joint and they're sitting there and you think he's telling you this revelation and it just turns out to be the acting to the dead dog again. I think that's fucking brilliant for a callback from the first scene. I loved it.
And also plays on exactly what you were just saying, where you think like he's like, hey, I lost my best friend. You think like, oh, he's opening up to him and apologizing for the way he's acted and taking him down the wrong road. No, he hasn't changed a fucking a lick. He's still talking about his dog and just like, we'll get high later. Kind of like he's just, you know.
Yeah, it shows he's stuck in that loop and he's not anymore.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. No, I definitely like the ending of this movie. Matt, do you got anything else on this one?
No, I think we pretty much covered it. What'd you guys rate it?
Well, I do want to say one thing. I'm asking this to see if like, it's totally possible. Maybe I'm super out of touch with, you know, what's cool and shit nowadays, but
that's totally possible.
probably. I think it's probably more. We'll probable
ask your ninth probable grade class.
Yeah. They will say that it's a sure thing, but,
he was dope.
The clothing, is that accurate to like how people in high school dress? Or was this like, you know, Hollywood just kind of like, oh, let's be young and hip and dress them like, I don't know, some of the things that like, and I don't know what era this was supposed to take place in.
It's present day. There's several references to present day, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't know, just the way that like Pete Davidson dress? Is it a West Coast, East Coast thing? It just doesn't look like...
probably on the East Coast, but I have no idea.
No, they are. I assume it's in New York.
Is it like... because welcome to Wes's
Fashion Corner. Discuss the greatest trends between 16-year-olds on the East Coast.
I don't mean it like that. I just mean it like when I was going to high school, like a lot of people like just kind of dressed the same. Like they would have like screen printed t-shirts. These guys are like, they look like fashion model. You know what I mean? Like the guy's got like a weird jacket on and like a striped shirt. Like it looks so...
I didn't notice.
I don't know what I'm getting to, but it just... for some reason, maybe it's all movies, like a lot of movies with like young people in it. I go like, that's not how teenagers dress.
But also when you were a teenager, it was very goddamn different.
And that's why, and that's exactly why I was like, look, it's probably just me remembering, you know, the 90s. But
yeah, how come they're not wearing JNCO jeans and a FUBU hat?
Maybe I'll just go by a high school with some binoculars and just kind of check out.
That should go well.
I'll tip the police off to that so I can meet you there.
Just be like, no, I'm just checking out their clothes, officer.
I'm sure that'll go well.
It's for a movie review podcast.
Like, oh, have you actually started it or are you going to start it?
We have.
Heard that a lot. Heard that a lot around here.
Book him. I don't know. Just a weird gripe I have with a lot of Hollywood movies. And this one, it stood out, but I'm probably wrong. All right. Now let's go ahead and review it. Adrian, your movie, what'd you start?
I gave it 3.5. And I was between 3 and 3.5 on this, but I had to go by the Man Who Killed Hitler standard. And I think since I gave that a 3, I have to be like, okay, well, which movie's better? I can't rate this the same as that. So we got to at least go a half step higher. So I gave it 3.5 for that reason.
I got a question, but is that possible to have 2 3-star movies and one's better than the other? I think it's possible.
Yes, absolutely. But this is back to back, or no, it's not back to back. It was a couple episodes ago, but still, that's the last 3-star I gave, and I compared it to that.
That's a fair enough reason, I think.
It's tough to get that out of your mind.
Because I was between the two, so I was like, okay, let me go back to the last 3-star. I'm like, it's better than that. So yeah, I think 3.5 is fair. I don't feel bad about rating it that high, but because I do think there's a lot of good stuff in there. It's definitely not perfect, but, you know, we discussed all the reasons. 3.5, I think, is a good score for it.
I was actually between as well, but I was leaning more 3.5 to 4, and I just don't think it did enough to get a 4. I also gave it a 3.5. It was entertaining.
Yep. I also gave it a 3.5, and I was kind of coming at looking at it from Adrian's standpoint going like, I think this is like a 3, but then I think really like the ending earned it that extra 0.5 star. I thought I liked the ending and the way that they ended it. I liked the way that they like didn't just cookie cutter coming of age movie that they could have done. I liked some of the acting in it. I liked Griffin Gluck, and I liked Pete Davidson. You know,
what about just, his mouth?
That lost him 0.5 star. It was from 4 to 3.5.
What's that, Pete?
Oh, sorry, Pete. Just grab another beard, Ralph.
No, false alarm.
But yeah, I was like, well, if my standard is 3 is average, this is above average. It's not an average movie. It's above, but there was just something in there that couldn't push it all the way into like territory for me. But otherwise, I went, yeah, this is a good movie. It's not a bad movie. It's not an average movie. I think it has redeemable qualities. And at the end of the day, I'm glad I watched it. So yeah, 3.5 seems solid.
Yeah, the nostalgia factor too. Mm-hmm. Hits you hard.
I want to say that the nostalgia factor was like so hard that it hurt. Like I was like, ugh, it's like uncomfortably nostalgic. I remembered the fucking time I lost my voice in front of the class. Like I was like, oh shit, like that hasn't come up in years. Like I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready. We're
unearthing childhood traumas in this movie.
Like damn, this is heavy. But no, I think it has its flaws, but I think I agree with both of you. Both of you guys are excellent reviewers. I'm going to go with the same 3.5. 3.5's all around.
Boom. 3.5.
Well, there you go. There's your score. Check it out. Hopefully you've already checked it out and you either agree or disagree. And you can please tell us whether you do or don't. Send us in emails. But now is the time where Adrian, the stat master, is going to try to stump 2 regular guys, me and Matt.
Not that hard. Yeah, not hard at all.
This is Fact Check. I think the time is coming near. The facts aren't always crystal clear. So it's time that we illuminate to the max. Check the fucking facts. Check the facts.
Welcome to the fact check corner of
Hang on, guys. The show. I think we just got a fax. I think somebody just faxed in the show.
Unless it's a check, I ain't checking for them.
I just should check the fax real quick.
Yeah, check the fax machine. See if it's a check.
It's a drawing of a middle finger.
Yeah, that never, disregard. Let's get back to this. Pete Davidson. Yeah.
It's over a huge mouth.
Let's get away from his Muppet mouth and talk about the fact check. Okay, so this is where I present you with some facts, multiple choice answers to the questions, and you try to decipher the facts. So let's move to our first fact of the evening, or morning, depending on when you're listening to this. So, director Jason Orley also wrote this movie and based all the characters off of real people he knew. Which actor ended up meeting the person that inspired their character after the premiere? A. Pete Davidson, who played Zeke. B. Ona Lawrence, who played Sophie, the love interest of Monroe. C. Griffin Gulluck, who played Monroe. Or D. Joe Woolley, who played a bouncer at the bar and was uncredited. Matt, we're going to go to you first.
I'm going to go with A. Zeke.
So you think Pete Davidson met the person who inspired his character?
Oh, maybe I misread you. I thought the guy met, whoever made the movie met that person and inspired that character and got him to play.
No, what I'm saying is the actor met the person who inspired the character after the premiere.
Like they met the real life version of them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Ooh. I'm going to go with Sophie.
Sophie, so Ona Lawrence, B.
Yeah.
Okay, Wes, let's go to you.
I feel like Pete Davidson is too easy, but it sounds the most...
With a mouth like that, how can you not be?
I feel like Pete Davidson's never going to do this show. I feel like that one seems the most legit, but too it legit? Seems also too easy. Too legit. It's too legit that I have to quit. I feel like Griffin Gluck is probably the answer I'm going to go with. I think I like Matt's answer, but just, and I think Adrian, you threw in the bouncer just to be funny. So I'm going to go with B, Griffin Gluck.
Actually, it would be C, Griffin Gluck.
Oh, was it C? I'm sorry. Yeah, C, Griffin Gluck. Same answer, but wrong.
Okay. Number. Well, the answer is Joe Woolley, the bouncer. Just kidding. The answer is C, Griffin Gluck.
Yeah. Oh,
Wes, that's one for you. How do you feel about that one?
I feel.
Unnecessary. Next question. So Pete Davidson is unsurprisingly like his character Zeke in some ways. Which one of the following from the movie actually happened between Pete and his co-star Griffin Gluck? A. Griffin got a tattoo in Pete's basement. B. Griffin sold Pete's drugs for him. C. Griffin banged Pete's ex-girlfriend. D. Pete drove Griffin around because he didn't have his license yet. And we're going to go to Matt on this one.
D.
So Pete drove Griffin around because he didn't have his license yet.
Yes.
Okay. Wes?
Without cheating and looking up how old Griffin was shooting this movie.
He could be any age and not have his license for the record.
That's true. Or he banged his girlfriend.
Possible.
Or he sold drugs for him.
Mm-hmm. Or he banged the bouncer.
Well, or he got a tattoo in Pete's basement. That was the first
tattoo in Pete's basement. I'm between tattoo in Pete's basement or driving around or banged his girlfriend. There's no way that they would have said that. But I think selling drugs for him is a possible answer because, you know, maybe it's like some weird story like, oh, so I had to give this guy Tylenol for $10 and I sold drugs for him. So that's, you know,
did you just say you sold Tylenol to someone for $10?
I'm trying to come around. I'm trying to. Wait,
are you a 7-Eleven? Because that's how much it costs there for Tylenol PM.
I'm also going to go C. Or sorry, D. The driving around. D.
D. So drove Griffin around because he didn't have his license yet.
Yeah.
Well, the correct answer is A. Griffin got a tattoo in Pete's basement.
Wow. Motherfucker.
It was a smiley face and his friend did it. One of Pete's friends tattooed him. All right. Well,
damn it.
That's very sad for you.
I was gonna say I'm just gonna be different than Matt and take A, and then I fucked up. Thanks a lot, Matt.
You fucked up. All right. So the final question of the section. Griffin and Pete hung out a lot offset out watching movies. After watching a movie some consider a cult classic, Pete ended up getting a giant tattoo of a character from the movie on his chest. Which movie inspired his tattoo? A, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. B, the man who killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot. C, Night of the Living Dead. Or D, Mars Attacks. And we're going to go to, who did I call on first? Wes?
You've called Matt first both times.
Twice, yeah. So let's keep it going. No, actually, go ahead, Wes.
I'm going to give it to Wes.
Rocky Horror Picture Show, Night of the Living Dead, or...
The Man Who Killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot.
Yeah. I'm Xing that one out. I don't think that was... I don't think that was out when this they were filming this movie, but...
Definitely was. It definitely was. This movie is from last year.
I'm still crossing that one off. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm crossing that one off. Mars Attacks. I'm trying to think of like Pete Davidson as a comedian, you know, like, oh, this is kind of funny and weird. Mars Attacks would work. Rocky Horror Picture Show. I can't imagine two guys going to see that together and still being friends afterwards.
Lovers. I'm gonna
go, just maybe, listening to your thought process turn is incredible.
Good.
Pick a fucking letter.
I'm going to go with Night of the Living Dead.
C, Night of the Living Dead.
Yes.
All right, Matt?
That was my first guess, but just to have some fun, I'm going to go with Rocky Horror Picture Show.
A, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So the correct answer is D, Mars Attacks.
Damn it! That was the one that I was...
So the story is, they watch that movie, and Pete Davidson says, like, oh, I want to get one of those things tattooed on me. And Griffin's like, that's fucking weird, man. And then like a week later, he came back with a giant Martian from Mars Attacks tattooed on his chest, which is pretty funny.
I thought he had a shark from Jaws.
Probably has that too.
That was in the movie, but that was probably after they.
Oh, yeah. Show. Okay.
Damn it. That was the one I was actually going to pick, but I was like, you're wrong about
it. You're winner by default, aren't you? Did you?
I think I was the one that only got one right. So
yeah,
yes.
You got one. So default. That's been fact checks.
Nice. I think I'm winning overall fact checks. Maybe I should start scribbling this down, but
yeah, we should probably start keeping track of this.
Stole a force feed from Matt on one of them. I think we tied the next one and then I just won again. So I think I'm 2-0.
I think you tied one other time too.
2-0-1. Yeah. Fair enough. I like it. I'm happy about that.
Well, that's a great segue into where we're going.
Yeah. Actually, I mm-hmm. would prefer Matt to be winning a lot more. I think he deserves a lot more because we are going to talk about the Battle Royale coming up between me and Adrian. Matt's requirement was a funny movie or a comedy, a really good comedy. The funniest movie wins. Either the submitter or the reviewer has not seen yet. And yeah, Matt, I'll let you go ahead and take it from here.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw a little wrench in the gears here. And so you've already given me your picks, but...
We have not.
Unofficially.
Oh, well, unofficially.
We haven't announced them. We checked with you.
Yes, correct.
But we will announce them on this episode.
So they're already sealed. And the point of this is to throw a little disruption in there or something to... give extra points or take them away. Just an opportunity for me to piss on one of you guys. Because both of you guys chose against me, which is, you guys are both starting in the negative. Wes, I didn't like the way you ended your last little segment and the things that you said. So you and Adrian, don't laugh at that. This is not movie time. So I want to see a delicious meal in this movie.
A meal. Okay. I haven't seen my movie.
Delicious meal.
Okay. So if it's like, eating the funniest, soft-boiled
delicious
eggs.
Meal. I'm looking for a full-course meal. If you consider that a shit. Meal, then you may lose some points for it. But
I don't know if that's in my movie. I'm just throwing it out there, if that would be fine.
Yeah, they're blind. So, right away, sir, I will get you a delicious meal in this movie.
Coming right up.
Should we go ahead and submit our movies then?
Go ahead.
Now that we know, can I change my answer now that I know? I could pick another movie I've never seen with a delicious meal in it.
If you choose that over the comedy, you're probably going to lose.
Well, I mean, I could pick like What's Cooking, some weird chef movie or some, you know.
The Cookout 2.
No, I'm sticking with my submission.
Well, who shall present first?
Go ahead, Adrian.
All right. So my submission for a comedy movie for the Battle Royale is the 2019 film Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. On Prime Video. And the synopsis of this is Jay and Silent Bob return to Hollywood to stop a reboot of Blunt Man and Chronic movie from being made. and hopefully have a nice, delicious meal during that time.
It's a good pick here. That's a good contender. I'm a huge fan of Clerks, Jay and Silent Bob, all those movies. So you're looking pretty strong here.
Yes.
And I'm not requiring you to do the food portion because...
Oh, yeah. Oh,
oh, this is a new wrinkle in the game that I was not aware of. Okay. Okay. I'll remember these rules.
These rules are fair. They're fair as I see it.
They are. They're great rules, Matt. I've just, I was caught by surprise. But I want to say I'm also excited to watch that one because I meant to and I haven't yet. And that'll be a good reason to watch it. So I'm going to submit a 2018 comedy. It's on Netflix called When We First Met. And this is starring Adam Devine from Workaholics. And this is kind of in the same vein of Palm Springs. So it's using a magical photo booth that sends him back in time. Noah relives the night he met Avery over and over, trying to persuade her to fall for him. So he's basically using a time loop to try to win over a girl. I've actually heard a review of this movie on like one of the podcasts I listened to, and they all liked it. And I meant to check it out, and I hope it's funny, and I hope they eat. I hope they eat well on one of those dates. Hopefully, over and over and over again. Hopefully, over and over again. So, we'll see.
Okay, I like it.
Well, I'm ready to go down. I think this is going to be a good battle royale with two movies that nobody's seen. Right? Have you seen When We First Met, Adrian?
I may have, but it's been a long time if I did. It sounds familiar, but I can't recall specifics of it, which may be a good thing, may not be.
You laughed it out of your memory?
Maybe, or, you know, maybe wasn't memorable. I don't know.
How was the food, though?
Delicious.
I don't remember any food, but, you know.
Hey, Matt, tell me when you watch it, and I'll send you a Postmates.
Oh, that's fucking...
Pick out whatever you like.
Massive
whatever you
want
to eat when you want to watch this movie.
It's kind of a lot of money. I can't really afford that, but I'll make you a meal and mail it to you.
That's fine too.
Prison burrito?
Yeah, a prison burrito. I have all the ingredients in my house already, so that should be fine.
Just send Matt a couple more ingredients. He's got the rest to go. He's been like stockpiling prison burrito.
It's coming.
All right. Well, so did we have any extra credits for this week? I know I didn't have a ton. I did get one out of my 1001 movies book. I got to check off the list, but did you guys have any extra credits this week?
Yeah, I had a couple. I saw the movie What Keeps You Alive. It's from 2018 on Netflix, starring Hannah, Emily Anderson, and Brittany Allen. And this is kind of like a thriller movie. Not really kind of a horror movie, but not really. It's more of a thriller, but it's basically these two ladies who are married. They go out into this cabin and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. It starts getting hot and heavy. And then one of the ladies pushes the other one off of a cliff and tries to kill her.
And I love that kind of porn.
She doesn't die. And chaos ensues from there.
Revenge type of film?
It's not revenge. And I don't want to spoil any of the little twists that are in it. But she goes trying to survive her new wife from that point forward.
Wow.
Yeah. I gave it 3 stars.
New wife or life?
Wife.
Oh.
Her new wife that pushed her off a fucking cliff. That's the one she's trying to survive from. She didn't die from it. So she's like, oh shit, she's trying to kill me. I gotta fucking hide.
I've gotta survive.
Yeah, she's gotta survive. So What Keeps You Alive is what it's about.
Fuck yeah. All right.
And then I started watching a series called The Rain on Netflix.
Oh, I heard of that. It's like a zombie type or apocalypse.
Kind of. It's a German show, and it's about basically the rain has like a virus in it, and it starts coming down, and these two siblings get put into a bunker, and they're trying to survive basically from that point forward and figure out what's causing it. But yeah, just everything the rain falls on just kills everyone. Like pretty much instantly.
Jesus.
That movie will probably never be more relevant.
Well, it's a series. So yeah, started in 2018. So it was ahead of its time. But the interesting thing about this is I'm watching it kind of sacrilegiously. I'm watching it dubbed with subtitles.
Whoa.
Oh, I think if I remember correctly, because I think I started this series, and I think I did the same thing, but I can't remember why. What was your, why did you do that?
It was the dubbing I kind of need just for like the flow of it, but the subtitles to pick up everything I miss for the most part. But it's really interesting because the dubbing and the subtitles don't match half the time.
Oh.
So weird. It's one of them's lying and I'm trying to figure out which one.
Detective Lang.
Yeah. Let's get the detective in here. Hopefully he can help. But yeah, so that's all I got. Those two. Light week.
Sounds good. All right. Matt, did you watch anything extra this week? Any extra credits for you?
No, I didn't watch any movies, any new series. I am almost finished watching Alone. We're on the very last season and a little more than halfway through it. And I love that show. So it's pretty awesome. Hopefully they keep going. Other than that, I really didn't watch too much.
What network's that on again?
It's on History Channel, I believe. Oh, and okay. It was on Hulu the first couple. It's like the season 3 through 6, I think. And then you have to watch the final season 7 on demand.
Cool. Well, I did go back and watch one out of my book. Got another checkbox in there. This was one from 1934, directed by Frank Capra. And it was called It Happened One Night, starring Clark Gable. Who, if you guys know, was labeled the king of Hollywood. Clark Gable was in a shitload of like old movies.
Yeah, but wasn't there only like 10 movie stars back then?
Probably. I mean, based on what I've seen so far from that era, there wasn't very many good ones either. But I always feel bad reviewing these movies because I'm like, this movie is so this is what it's about. Clark Gable is a newspaper reporter looking for like a new hot story. And it just so happens at the beginning that this lady is supposed to marry. She's like an heiress, like a Paris Hilton type of thing. And she like marries this other celebrity pilot or some shit. And
pilot.
Yeah. He's like, well, you got to remember
like Sully, right?
Yeah. Like, no, like this is like the 1930s. Like people were famous for doing all kinds of dumb shit. I don't know why this guy, his name was King Wesley though. I like that part. But she jumps off her dad's yacht and like swims back to New York or something. And then he's at the bus stop where she goes and they end up meeting and she's trying to get back to her husband and escape her dad, who's super rich. And he's like this scrappy reporter. And, you know, from there, you know what's going to happen. Like he wins her over and they end up, you know, she runs away from her wedding at the end. And, you know, it's the same fucking, it's the same rom-com you've seen like for your whole life. And I feel bad like knocking it for that. Cause I'm like, yeah, I saw that and fucking, you know, like some other movies that came out a century later, you know, but like you guys ripped it off. Like they did, obviously they were the first ones to do it, but it's just so hard.
Yeah. It's such well-worn territory now. It's hard. Yeah,
you're just like, man, that was probably legit when that came out. Like, you know, so I decided I'm just going to review them based on like whether or not I think people should watch them, but I'm not actually knocking the film. It's probably in its time. It fucking dominated. And like their jokes aren't funny. I mean, you're going to watch I did laugh one time in the movie, like, cause there was this bus driver that would be like, there's one part where starts to get in a fight with Clark Gable. He's like, he throws all these newspapers out the window to like make a seat on the bus. And the bus driver comes over to him. He's like, hey, what's the big idea? Throwing away all those newspapers. And Clark Gable's like, well, I need a place to sit, you know? And he's like, oh yeah. And Clark Gable's like, oh, if I would have heard that before, we'd have a longer conversation. Like he's, oh yeah. And the bus driver keeps saying, oh yeah. And it's like, whatever. But then when the lady's trying to get off the bus, she runs into the bus driver and she's just like, no, I got to get off here. It's like, this is my stop. He's like, oh yeah. I laughed. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. Callback. Yeah. I was like, that was legit. That was a legit. I didn't expect that. But otherwise it's a pretty fucking boring rom-com. Unless you probably lived during this time, you loved it. There is a scene though, where he's driving back. She's calling off her wedding. He's going back. Wants to meet her and tell her everything's all set up and he's ready for her. And these cops fly by him, which are police escorting, I think, her dad or somebody to that wedding. and he flips a bitch because he thinks like they're his police escort, and he's fucking full on laying on the horn like, hey, cops, hey. And you're just like, no one would ever do that, especially in 2020. Not but in this it was 1930. Yeah, it was 1934. So
what do you mean that happened in big time adolescence almost? Almost identically.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It like that's what I was like, hey, there you go. There's a tie in. But I gave it a 2.5 star because I was like, I don't recommend anybody watch this. I'm just doing it because it's in a book. And the
book tells me what to do, and I must obey the book.
Sort of, I obey the randomizer in the book, and that's how I watch my movies.
Sounds but like it, your life.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, if you have interest in old movies, it's not a fucking terrible movie. It's just you're not going to walk away and be like, man, you know. There's some Alfred Hitchcock movies or something you might watch and be like, that was fucking pretty good. This one's your standard issue rom-com. It's just set in an old setting. I was just happy that they had talking because, you know, some of the 1920s ones, you got to read a bunch. And some of those have been better, honestly, like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Like that one was from like 19 whenever. And that was way better.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. My apologies.
You ignorant pig.
Yeah. So far, 1934 struck out. I'd go back 1920 and beyond and earlier. Those have been a little better, but whatever. Hey, to each their own. That's all. Oh, I you know what? I got to throw it in, Adrian. I took your advice. We started watching the new season this weekend of Married at First Sight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's I hate it. I love how much I hate it. I love how much I hate it.
Yep. Every person on there, you're just like, fuck you. But you're like, whatever.
I'm surprised how much I like the hippie couple on there.
Yeah.
I was like, these guys are going to bug the fuck out of me. And then I'm kind of like, oh, they're chill. I mean, they still do bug me, but.
My wife still thinks the hippie guy looks like a serial killer.
See, I told my wife, I was like, that guy would be like, I think he would be a handsome dude if he like just trimmed his hair up and like tried to look. He's just so weird.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's for our Married at First Sight podcast.
Just stay tuned after this one. That one's next.
Yep. Yeah. I think me, you, Rachel, and Lindsay all need to get together and start a Married at First Sight podcast, and we'll really break it down, you know, for the real fans.
Matt can just listen. He could be a viewer of that one.
Turn it off at first listen is what that would be.
That's what we got to name.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're just going to go right into it, guys. I know everyone's done some horrible shit in their lives. We've watched some shitty movies. You know, we've just overall been bad people. This movie really just told us, you know, especially
accomplice
our high school
arson. Yeah.
Accomplice to arson.
I told the cops that fuck the police to their faces.
Yeah. And I embarrassed myself like an asshole. You know, especially our high school years, I think we really want to apologize for our high school years. And we're going to do that by submitting to the randomizer, guys. Let's see. Matt, you did the worst this week. Let's go with you first.
Okay. I'm going to be submitting A Serious Man on Netflix.
Oh, have you seen it? I like it.
Oh, you've seen this? Yeah.
Coen Brothers.
Oh, is this a Coen Brothers movie?
Yep.
A Serious Man?
Unless I'm confusing it with...
It is. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
What basically pulled me to it was it like described as deadpan, cynical, and cerebral, and kind of a dark comedy. So, yeah, I'm going to give that a shot.
Nice. Yep, I've seen it. I'm a big fan of it. I'll watch it again. Adrian, what have you got?
All right. I've got one called Bad Roomies from 2015. You can click on the Hulu app if you want to watch it. This stars Patrick Renna, Tommy Savas, and Annie Monroe. So the synopsis here is two guys find a beautiful young woman to take the place of their missing roommate. Everything seems fine until horrible mistakes on a drunken night leads to all three on a downward spiral. And I don't know if you guys remember Patrick Renna, but you might remember from...
Oh, yeah.
You're killing me, Smalls. Did I do that right?
Two Sandlot references in one show.
Yeah. So that's my movie.
Nice. So this movie actually made me think of a new segment I might want to come up with on the show. This is... How many times are you guys scrolling through Netflix or Hulu or Prime or whatever, any service, and you like look at a movie, you like read the synopsis, and you're like, this is going to suck. Fuck that. And you just skip it. See, I kind of want to make a list of these types of movies. So maybe we'll talk about those in future episodes. But this is one of those movies that I definitely have skipped over because I was like, the fuck is this? Like, it just looks weird. But I figured, you know what? I don't have a solid, legitimate submission for this week. Let's throw one of these bitches out there. It's probably going to suck. This is a 2017 movie. It's directed by Mark Cullen and Rob Cullen, the Cullen brothers.
Oh, the Cullens.
The Cullen brothers. And this stars Bruce Willis. And this is on Hulu. The tagline is "Never mess with a man's dog." Steve Ford is a private detective in Venice Beach, California, who's good with the ladies, bad with the punches, and wild about his dog, Buddy. When local thugs steal Buddy, Ford turns to Spider, the devious leader, and forges an unlikely alliance. With the help from his best friend, Steve pulls out the big guns to retrieve Spider's stolen cash, cocaine, and save Buddy.
I don't think we need to watch that movie now. I got it all right there.
Hey, it's Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis is hard for work.
maybe it's good.
Some careers die hard.
That's really why I suggested this movie. It was because I was like, I don't want to watch this, but if I'm forced to, I'll watch this fucking piece of shit. So there you go. If I got to watch it, you're going down with me.
Great. The movie is called Once Upon a Time in Venice, by the way.
All right, guys. The movies are in. The randomizer is ready. Let's go ahead and see what she gives us. Oh, it's a force feed for Adrian. Wow. The randomizer giveth today instead of taketh.
I do have a movie to force feed, and this is one of the stranger movies I have on my watch list. So this movie is titled Mom and Dad. It's a thriller. It's about a teenage girl and her little brother try to survive a wild 24 hours during which mass hysteria of unknown origins causes parents to turn violent on their own children. And you know who this stars?
Bruce Willis.
No, you're very close, though. Nicolas Cage.
Oh.
Selma Blair. Anna Winters. Zachary Arthur.
All right. So this is not one that's already on the list.
I'm force feeding a new movie.
All right. Fair enough. There you go. Mom and Dad. And this is on Netflix?
Hulu.
Randomizer has spoken, and it just let Adrian fuck the rules to complete hell. I mean, I might have to have a little talk with the randomizer after this, but, you know.
Never said it had to be a movie from the randomizer.
Well, there is no rules. That's the one rule. There is no rules here. So there you go.
I should probably write down some rules.
Probably should have done that to begin with. Yeah. Rules on my to-do list for next episode.
Force feed mom and dad. I don't like the sound of that.
Well, if you didn't like the sound of that, you're not going to like the sound of there's nothing to do but plugs now, guys. Butt plugs, mom and dad, force feed.
Jesus Christ.
God.
Where have we gone? I thought we just repented.
Yeah, there we go.
And you can find this episode by looking up any of those words we just said.
Yeah, butt plugs, mom and dad. Guys, you've heard the show. You've heard what we do here. You know, send in your movies, send in your reviews, send in your arguments, send in your anything. We want to hear from you. Send it all to healthystreampodcast@gmail.com. You know, even just put like a fax, you know, a picture of you flipping us off. Like, we just want something. Just send it in. We love it. Tweet at us. You can tweet us at healthy_stream on Twitter. Is that correct, Adrian? Or is that wrong?
Probably.
It's not podcast.
That's the different podcast.
And if you want to follow me, then just follow me at Nice Marmot with a zero. NICEMARM0T. And that's on Letterboxd. You can see what I'm watching. See the I'll put reviews on there sometimes, and you can follow along.
You can see anything that I have rated in the past, all of us really, on Letterboxd. I'm at Goes to 11, GOESTOELEVEN. Adrian.
And you can find me on Letterboxd and Newswide. It's French. also remember to rate our podcast the highest you feel available, which is
five stars.
Five, I think, is the highest. Review it. Say anything you want. We don't give a shit.
Yeah, just 5 stars, you can say whatever.
Yeah. And check out our show notes. It has a list of all of our letterbox, so you don't have to go type that shit in like, oh, what did he just say? Like all that bullshit. Just look. And we have the current randomizer list, all the movie we mentioned, and our extra credit. Yeah, you want to watch anything? Check it out there.
Yeah, especially Adrian's. You'll realize that his name is Anus Wide Shut. all these different pronunciations. It's a lot easier just look him up on the website.
Yeah, I guess that's the Christian pronunciation.
As long as you're looking up that other crap anyway.
Type Anus Wide Shut into your browser.
Please.
Mom and Dad.
Do.
Bye.
Matt.
Say bye-bye, Matt.
See ya.
That's not what we said.
No, that's not what I said.
Bye. It's too damn high.